We continue our series on the seven signs of John. And in case you're not aware, John has seven signs specifically that he highlights in the gospel. This morning's reading is not one of those signs, but it's a water stop, if you will, and a beautiful story after the first sign. And so we pick up the reading in John chapter 4, verses 4 and following. Now he had to go through Samaria, so Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. And yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. This morning, as I said, we're looking at the seven signs, and this morning we're reflecting on living water, Jesus as living water. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man who received this text from his wife on a cold winter day, and the text said, "Window frozen, won't open." And so the man sent back a text that said, "Pour warm water on it and tap gently with a hammer." A little while later, he sent a text back to his wife asking how things were going, and she sent the following text back, "Computer not working well, did not respond well to recommendation." We struggle with communication, don't we? Even in the best of circumstances. In fact, our society has sometimes become so contentious to talk about things, whether it be something in our society or politics or what have you. In fact, I recently heard about this teacher who was so concerned about polite conversation in her classroom that she sent a note home to all the parents that said this: "If the president is not on Mount Rushmore, we won't be talking about him in the classroom." Which brings to mind, of course, what four presidents are on Mount Rushmore? Do you recall? Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and the fourth is Teddy Roosevelt. That's right. Now, in case you didn't know, Teddy Roosevelt died in 1919, 100 years ago. And so the idea is, you know, if it's happened within the last 100 years, we probably can't talk about it in a polite, and orderly fashion. It's a worry in our society, isn't it? And so I think this story teaches us some lessons, some spiritual truths about a lot of things. And one of them is about communication, surely. But I invite you to walk back into this story. And first, to just recap where we've been here. The first of the seven signs. And so in the Gospel of John, a sign is not simply a miracle. A sign is a miracle plus a message. And there's a truth, a spiritual truth that we can apply to our lives. And so last week we looked at the first of the seven signs, and that was the miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And so Jesus was at this wedding, and Jesus' mother comes to him and points out that all the wine is gone, which is a big social faux pas at that time. And Jesus looked at his mother and pushed back a little bit and said, "Woman, what is this to me? Why should I get involved?" And Mary, Jesus' mother, looked at the servants around Jesus and said, "Just do what he says." And so Jesus listened to his mother. That's a good lesson for us, of course. And so Jesus, of course, took these water jars, which were about 30 to 50 gallons, and just contained water for ceremonial washing, and had one of the servants take a cup to the master of ceremonies, and all of a sudden he tasted that, what was supposedly water, and said, "This is the best wine. Why do you bring it now? Most people wait, and they have the best wine first, and when things have loosened up a little bit, they bring out the cheap stuff, but you save the best for last." And so everybody marveled at that miracle. And we said, what is the message to us? And one of the great messages is that Jesus got involved. Sometimes when we look at God in our life, we think, well, God is the creator of everything that is, and it stands back at a distance. We wonder, is God willing to get involved with my needs and my life? And I challenge us to be like Mary coming to Jesus in that moment and to offer to Jesus what we have that is lacking, that is bland, that is broken, a hardship, an adversity we're facing, and let Jesus get involved in our life, and as Mary said, to listen and do what Jesus asked us to do. And we'll find that Jesus can take what is lacking, what is hardship and what is broken, and make it well and beautiful and abundant in our hearts and lives, and that Jesus wants to get involved in our life. And I said that Mary only appears twice in the Gospel of John. That first time, and I asked people to sort of reflect on what that was, a bit of a challenge, and you may recall that Mary appears again in John 19 at the foot of the cross. And it's as if in that moment that Jesus is looking down at his mother Mary and saying, "Look, Mom, I got involved, not just in a wedding feast when wine was lacking, but when sin and hardship and shortcomings had broken humanity, and I'm willing to bridge the gap and give my life so that I can bridge the gap between love and justice." And so Christ has provided for all of our needs, even in that moment. And so we journey now into some barren desert land. We're not sure why Jesus took this route, probably because he was pressed along the way. And this was a dangerous route, and so Jesus goes on this way. He's thirsty, and they stop at this Jacob's well. Now, that well is still there today, we believe. A church has been built over it. But Jacob had to dig down about 100 feet before he struck water, and it's preserved. And so you have to have a bucket and to let it down quite a ways in order to pull water up. And so Jesus stops there with his disciples. Disciples go into town, and Jesus is there by himself, and he sees a woman coming around the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour is about noon, and the reason we say, some of your translations just say noon, but you take sunrise, which is around 6 o'clock, and add 6 hours, and you come to noon. So it's the heat of the day. And Jesus sees a woman coming, and she comes, and Jesus asks her for a drink of water. "Will you give me a drink?" And I think the first spiritual truth that we get from Jesus here, two spiritual truths from Jesus and two from the Samaritan woman, and the first spiritual truth from Jesus is to be honest about our needs. And if Jesus can be honest about his needs, then so too we can be honest about our needs. So Jesus says simply, "Will you give me a drink?" And this morning, whatever you're going through that seems a bit like a desert, perhaps it's a hardship, the loss of a loved one, or financial difficulties, or an illness, or just relationship difficulties, or whatever you're going through may feel like a desert. But take Jesus' example. Just confess what you need before the Lord. And so Jesus said, "Will you give me a drink?" And so that's the first spiritual truth I learned from Jesus, to be honest about our needs. But the next spiritual truth I learned from Jesus is to reach across some divides. Something that our nation, our society is not very good at today, as I suggested at the start. And so Jesus does exactly that. And this woman says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? You see, there was a lot that separated Jesus and this Samaritan woman. The first was religion. The Samaritans believed differently than Jews. They only accepted the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures. And then there were some racial tensions because those in the Samaritan region were believed to have intermarried those who had conquered that area, and so the ethnicity was a little bit different. So you had a difference in religion, and you had a difference in race, if you will, and you had a difference in culture because this was a woman and Jesus was a man. The woman didn't enjoy the same rights that men did in that day, and so they thought to be a little bit lower, and so Jesus is crossing all those divides. And then we find out later that this woman has a bit of a storied past. You know, the reason that she's coming at noon, rather in the early morning or the late evening when most women would come to the well take water and go all the way back to the village, was that she probably wanted to avoid all the gossip that was going on. She just wanted to have an alone moment, even if it meant walking all that way in the heat of the day. And so Jesus pushes forward and crosses the divide. And it reminds me today that maybe we should do some of the same thing. In a society where we have become increasingly isolated and increasingly divisive and only want to talk to people who believe exactly like we do, that maybe like Jesus, we need to reach across some of the divides in life, be it race or politics or language or nationality, gender, whatever it is, to reach across the divide of life. I'm reminded there's a wonderful book out called Bowling Alone. I don't know if you've read that by Roger Putnam, and he sort of chronicles this a study he did for his PhD, in which he details that we become more and more isolated. And some of the evidence he gets from that is he did studies, a number of studies, but one of the famous ones is that bowling has grown in popularity in our country, but bowling in leagues has diminished greatly. And some of what he got out of that is that we have become more and more isolated. We don't want to be in groups so much. We want to just be by ourselves and those who believe exactly like ourselves. Our communication, our conversation with those other than ourselves has diminished. I mean, think about it for a moment. We used to worry about teenagers going to the mall, just hanging out with their friends, and maybe become a little bit too possession-oriented. And now we worry because teenagers are in their room alone texting, right? And we adults aren't much better, right? We become more and more isolated. And Jesus does just the opposite. Jesus reaches across the divide to a woman who's different in gender, obviously, and language, and race, and religion, and opens the door in a beautiful and powerful way. Will you give me a drink of water? But the next two spiritual truths I learn are really from the Samaritan woman. And it's about discovering living water in our life. And so as they have this conversation, Jesus said, if you had known who I was, you would ask of me to have water, and I would have given you living water. And she says, sir, give me this water. And Jesus looks at her and says, go and get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, this is true. You've had five previous husbands, and the person you're with now is not your husband. And she marvels that he's a prophet. And then she says, well, tell me, sir, how is it that the Jews say you worship in Jerusalem and the Samaritans worship in a mountain? And Jesus pushes back from that whole conversation and says, those who worship God will worship in spirit and in truth. That's what God is looking for. As if in that moment, as Jesus says, and I think just like us, you know, it's not about the Jews and it's not about Samaritans. It's really about your relationship. And we get tangled up with religion sometimes, don't we? Is it the Presbyterians versus the Catholics, or perhaps it's the Baptists versus the Methodists, or the Congregational versus someone else, or maybe we stand when we pray or we kneel when we pray, or maybe it's contemporary music versus traditional music. And Jesus sort of pushes back and says, you know, it's not about all those things. Those are nice. But the most important thing is to come before God with an honest and open spirit. And when we do that, then Jesus can meet us as the living water of life and give us life where there just seems to be a desert moment. And so this woman marvels at that moment and discovers Jesus as truly the living water in life. And so wherever you are this morning with sort of the desert part of your life, hold that up to Jesus in an honest and open way. And whatever you treasure about the way you celebrate your faith, know that God honors all those things. God only asks us to have a heart that is open and honest. Those that worship God in spirit and truth. And so I learned the secret of discovering living water through the Samaritan woman. And the second spiritual truth I learned from the Samaritan woman is that she went in and she shared with her friends. She went into town not only presumably to bring the man she was with, but also all of her friends. Now, she didn't have all the answers. You know, sometimes we want to have all the answers before we share. You know, I need to know all the answers theologically, philosophically, biblically, and everything else. But she goes and says, come and meet the person who told me all about myself. Come and see. And remember, we, a couple weeks ago, look at that, those words, come and see, that Jesus invites the disciples to, and disciples invite each other to. And so we, too, can invite our friends to come and see. God might not meet them in exactly the same way because their needs aren't exactly the same as ours. But if we invite people to discover the living water of life that we've discovered in Christ, then they too can find living water in their life. And so I challenge us to discover those four spiritual truths this morning in our own life. Two from Jesus and two from the Samaritan woman. The first is to be honest about our needs and to be open about that. The second is to cross the barriers. Cross the divides in life. Make a friend from someone you wouldn't normally be a friend to. Listen to their story. There's a wonderful Quaker story that says, a Quaker saying that says, the only enemy I have is the person whose story I have not listened to. And so to cross some of those divides like Jesus did and to discover a new friend. And the other two spiritual truths are the ones that I learned from this Samaritan woman. That if we are open and honest with the needs that we have, that we can discover Jesus as the living water who meets the needs of our life. And the second thing is if we invite others to come and see Christ, they too can discover the living water that can make their needs as well. I want to close with this story. It's a true story, and I think it has some truths for us today. And the story is of Billy Graham. Billy Graham, as you may recall, is the fiery evangelical preacher who passed away not long ago. And, of course, he graced the 20th century with his power and his preaching and touched a lot of people's hearts and lives. He was a conservative evangelical. But he told some of the close people around him one day that he wanted to make friends with J.W. Marriott. He wanted to have lunch with him. Well, his close associates pushed back from that and said, well, listen, you can't go make friends with J.W. Marriott or even have lunch with him. He's a Mormon, you know. And Billy Graham said, I know he's a Mormon, but I want to have lunch with him. And so they were very discouraged about that. But Billy Graham pushed forward and scheduled a lunch with J.W. Marriott. And the two had lunch and they became quite close friends. In fact, their friendship was so close that whenever Billy Graham would travel anywhere in the world where he was preaching and there was a Marriott, Billy Graham always stayed at a Marriott. And one day at a national prayer breakfast, Billy Graham got up and J.W. Marriott was there and he said, I just want to introduce one of my closest friends in all of my life, and that's J.W. Marriott. And it pushed back on a lot of people, but you know, I think Billy Graham set an example for us. Billy Graham never adopted a lot of the specific tenets of the Mormon faith, and yet he made a friendship outside his close circle, his close beliefs, and crossed some divides. Jesus set an example just like that to us. And so in a society where sometimes we're just all too divisive and we want to have our opinions, but we need to be able to reach across the divides at someone and to discover their story, and in so doing maybe make a friend outside of our circle. And we need to be honest about our needs. And when we do those things like Jesus, we can also discover Christ as living water and invite others to discover Christ as living water as well. Will you give me a drink? Will you join me in prayer? Lord, sometimes our lives seem like a desert. We go through times where we may be spiritually parched and dry, or we may face adversity and difficulty in life that just seems to beset us and dry up all of our resources. But today, this morning and in the days ahead, help us, like this Samaritan woman, to open our hearts and lives, to be honest with the needs that we have, and to discover you, the only one who's truly living water, who can bring life to our desert. We pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.